This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue in the third book of the Psalter with Psalms 74 through 77. Arise, O God! God will judge with equity. Who can stand before you? In the day of my trouble, and I will remember. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Holy God, holy and most gracious Father,
have mercy and hear us.
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
A reading from Ephesians chapter 2. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Amen.
Somebody once said, I think it was Woody Allen, that 90% of life is just showing up. But what he didn't say is that the other 10% is getting along with other people. And in fact, I think we could maybe even reverse the percentages. 10% is showing up, and 90% is getting along. I don't know about you, but I'm never really surprised, disappointed, but never really surprised when I hear about families, teams, faculties, even churches where people aren't getting along. It's just the way life is. It's just the way we are. So I'm not surprised either when I read the New Testament and find people problems among the early Christians. They were what we are, baptized, but fallen, saints and sinners too. So I'm not surprised at the problems. But I do have a hard time imagining what it must have been like to create a church out of both Jews and Gentiles. If any combination was more likely to run into problems, I don't know what it would have been. Just think about that for a moment. What it must have been like for a faithful Jew living in Ephesus, a city infamous for its paganism, for its debauched and horrible practices of ancient idolatry. Now, to follow the law of Moses, both the moral and the ceremonial, in such a context would really put you at odds with your neighbors. But that's what faithfulness did require. After all, we're talking about the law of God. But then the Apostle Paul shows up at your synagogue one day, and he starts telling you a strange story about the Messiah, and he convinces you, the Messiah has come. That's great for you. How wonderful, and for the Gentiles too. Well, now, that's a little weird. And we have to go to church with them. All of our life, the Jew would say, we've been avoiding them. Oh, sure, we've had business dealings with them, and sometimes some of them showed up in synagogue. But now we actually have to welcome them in. And what's more, they don't have to follow God's law. We had to all of our lives, beginning when we were 8 days old, and they don't. That does not seem right. Then there's the other side of the story, of this mix, the Gentiles. Now, at first, we might think that they had the easier side in this joint venture known as the church. After all, they were the ones who did not have to carry out all those Mosaic ordinances, the stuff that made the Jews so unusual. And that may well be true. But the interesting thing about this morning's reading is that it is mostly addressed to the Gentiles, that party in this joint venture. After all, the apostle begins by saying, "Hey, Gentiles, remember what you were." So were the Gentiles having trouble with the Jews? I mean, it's one thing, I guess, to say, oh, you don't have to follow the old rules, but it's another to eat and to drink with people who do follow the rules and perhaps were visibly uncomfortable with being with you. Now, that's one possibility to the problem. Another is practically the opposite. Instead of feeling inferior to the Jews, maybe the Gentiles were starting to become a little arrogant. The gospel was for them. Paul was their apostle. And the poor Jews who had been following all those rules and lording it over them for so many years, well, it turned out that didn't matter, at least not very much. So it's difficult to pinpoint precisely on the basis of this text just what was the problem going on at Ephesus. We just don't know. But what we do know about is people and people not getting along, whole groups of people as well as individuals. Now, there are some who say that it's worse today than it ever has been, and they blame it on social media. And they may have a point. Modern technology has made us all less and less dependent upon people who are immediately around us. We don't need our neighbors. We don't even have to know the names of our neighbors. And if an acquaintance or a neighbor happens to belong to a group that we don't particularly care for, well, there's nothing in our familiarity or association with the neighbor that might lead us to temper our speech or even our attitudes about that group. So I get that. It's reasonable. But group antagonisms are definitely not new, and their source is definitely not technology. No, the real source is right here, the human heart, the flesh, the sinful human nature. By nature, we are all egocentric. We're all about ourselves. And so others are less important. And if there's a group, and I don't care what it is, my family, my race, my political party, if there's a group to which I've attached my, then that group is the best, and all the others worse. If you don't believe me, just ask, and I'll tell you why. Now, that's the way we are. Social media may have made it easier for us to spout vitriol, but it hasn't made human beings any worse and certainly not better. We are just as bad as ever. No. That's why Paul's remedy to the Jew-Gentile divide in Ephesus church, no matter the details of their problems, is directly relevant to us. For when Paul says to the Gentile Christians, remember what you were, he's also reminding us as to what we would have been apart from the grace of Christ, separated from Christ, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. No hope, none at all. Damned sinners. And your group, I don't care what that group is. Your family, your race, your basketball team, it doesn't matter. It won't do you any good. None of that is going to help. There is, in fact, only one remedy, and the same remedy for us as it was for the Ephesians, and remarkably, amazingly, it involves belonging to another group, the Holy Christian Church. But this is a group like none other. This is one that transcends anything and everything that divides us, including and especially our sinful human nature, because the church is the creation of our Lord Jesus Christ and a consequence of his redemptive work. The apostle tells us that he actually destroyed the barrier between the Jews and the Gentiles. He fulfilled the law, all of it, moral as well as ceremonial, and in so doing, he reconciled both groups to God in one body through the cross, killing the hostility. Now, that's what God's grace did to overcome that division, that horrible division that so troubled the New Testament church. And it is that same grace of God in the saving work of Christ that overcomes our divisions. Indeed, transcends our divisions, whatever they may be. And it turns us from strangers and aliens to reconciled to God and to one another. Now, fellow citizens in the household of God. Now think about what that means. Together in the household of God. Not because we're good, come from the right family, the right ethnic group. No, none of that. But because of the redemptive, saving work of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Indeed, we are a new creation. And now it's the Christian church that gives us our real identity. We are Christians with the same faith, baptism, and Lord, the same God who is Father of us all, who is through all, above all, and in all. Indeed, we are living stones in the temple of God. Think about that for a moment. Living stones in the temple of God. Wow. Built on the foundation of the scriptures, the prophets, and the apostles, and Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. That, my friends in Christ, that is enough to overcome anything that divides us. Not 10%, not 90%, but all of it. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I cry to you, O Lord. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. My mouth is filled with your praise. Every day I will bless you. By awesome deeds you answer us with righteousness. Bless the Lord, O my soul. He redeems your life from the pit. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let us pray. O Lord, grant us the Spirit to hear your word and know the one thing needful, that by your word and Spirit we may live according to your will. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, Almighty God, as you have always granted special gifts of the Holy Spirit to your church on earth, grant your continual blessing, we pray, to all who minister in your name in the armed forces, that by your gracious working they may honor Christ and advance the good of those committed to their care. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I thank you, my heavenly
Father, through Jesus Christ,
let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.